gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to issue number 41 of the DC Superpowers Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
So, Vern, how you doing today, man?
Real good, real good. Got a buddy sitting in with me tonight.
Cool. So if you guys hear any pages flipping, his buddy's catching up on all the comic books that we've already been reading and told you guys all about already.
Yeah, I got him looking through Justice League versus Suicide Squad right now. Some real good stuff. I heard him giggling a while ago, so he's liking it.
Oh, yeah. It's killing me. I have issue number 6 sitting right here.
I
have not opened it up yet because I don't want to take a chance of spoiling it for everybody else that hasn't read it yet.
I did 2-page sneak peek, and I'm not going to say nothing, but yeah, I had to put it down because I didn't want to spoil it for myself. So let's review this first, then I'll get into it.
Yeah, this has kind of been amazing.
Very.
So, but before we get to all that, though, everything's back now on TV.
Yes. We had a good week because of that.
Oh, yeah. And Gotham's even getting interesting. We've got 2 weeks of Gotham back already.
Yeah, I definitely got to check this one out because it's been giving some buzz around social media. I've been looking up all the pictures for it. I didn't check anything out on just the straight internet blogs or anything like that. But seeing Jerome with the Joker stapled face, he's got some promise.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting seeing him when they had him all, because he had no face and they had him all bandaged up. That was awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I'm going to have to wait till I watch the show for that.
And kind of what I was thinking before, it seems he is definitely channeling the Heath Ledger Joker.
Is he?
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. He's all about anarchy. He just cares that he just wants to watch it all burn.
I did see somebody post something in a picture on Instagram. I was calling them a hater because I haven't seen it, but they might have been right. I don't know. They're saying feel like Heath Ledger inspired both Jokers for Suicide Squad and Gotham.
It feels kind of like it. The Suicide Squad one, like I said when we reviewed the movie, we didn't see a whole lot of him, so I'm
still
not
see
sure.
A lot of I didn't see a lot of Heath Ledger. To me, in my opinion, he might have did like a little bit of that crazy getting the role type method acting from Heath Ledger. But in my opinion, he took like a weird take on Jack Nicholson's Joker. He was very, very animated.
Well, what I was saying is I didn't see enough Joker to really get a good opinion about who this Joker really is.
True. I just watched the Suicide Squad extended cut, and it got a little bit more Joker in there.
Okay.
That even helped me like him even more. The whole movie itself, it made me like it more. I just liked to see the clips in there. Felt like the movie was complete. Almost complete.
Well, I picked up the movie this week also. I just didn't get a chance to put it in yet. Because I had to catch up on all this other stuff.
Right. Yeah, I had to make sure I got that. When I got home, I watched it.
Oh, yeah.
I
want to see all the special features.
Yeah, we were watching that, me and my buddy Ty right here, we were watching the Origins of Suicide Squad members, and they had everybody in there, but, who didn't? They didn't put Slipknot in there for obvious reasons.
Well, when you're only a member of the squad for, like, 12 hours, it really doesn't count much.
No, it doesn't, and I was telling them it was like that in the books, too, and they did a little take on that, they were like, yeah, Captain Boomerang did the same thing. Hey, mate, walk so far and see if it blows up, I'll be right behind you. And then, boom! Like, oh, yep, it works. Not doing that.
Yeah.
So, Boomerang's a scoundrel. But, yeah, there's a lot of special features on the Blu-ray. I haven't finished all of it. I only watched one segment. That lasted, Ty, what did that last, about 20 minutes? Hmm? What did that last, about 20 minutes, the special features? Yeah, so they're packed pretty good.
Cool. Did you get a chance to see the gag reel or any of that stuff yet?
Not, Larry, it was late. By the time we got done watching all that, it was like almost 1 in the morning, so.
Ah. Well, the one thing that's not on there that I'm always disappointed when they don't put something like this on a Blu-ray is the commentary track. I'm a film fan in general.
Oh,
usually,
yeah.
So I love behind-the-scenes stuff since I've done some behind-the-scenes stuff. It's like, and I love sitting there listening to the director's commentaries, actor commentary, all that stuff. All the stories from when they're actually on set.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do that. It's probably on there. I'm pretty sure it is. You know what? Hey, Ty, can you pass me a Suicide Squad?
It doesn't say it is on the back of the package or anything.
Oh, it doesn't. It used to back in the day, but we didn't have these many features and this many discs in one one package.
Oh yeah, and we this both got lucky. We found the Target had a phenomenal deal on it this week. Either that, or it's just not selling.
One to two. Hopefully, it's have a sale on it. I hope it's selling from people posting pictures. I think at least the fans liked it. That's the one thing about the Suicide Squad. The critics didn't, but fans definitely flocked over this. Because there were so many people buying the digital release, the Blu-ray release when it came out. I was a little jealous.
Well, and actually, that I don't know why this wasn't on our list, but Suicide Squad actually got nominated for an Oscar.
Did it really?
Hang on. Let me look it up here. Let me Google that for you real quick. Hey, come on. Not Scar. Oscar nominations 2017. Coming up on Mr. Google. Okay, now. I believe it was Best Visual Effects. They got the nomination.
Mm. Or was it Best Makeup? I feel like it would be probably more makeup than visual effects.
Hang on,
I could
let me
be
look
wrong.
Here. No. Actress in the role. Supporting role.
I'm looking up too, so
there's
gets
a bunch
to
of science
first.
Fiction and fantasy stuff that got Oscar nominations.
Yeah, Oscars.
Time.
Hold on. Oscars, Suicide Squad is now Academy Award nominee film for, let me click on the whole article. For makeup and hairstyling. I figured that would probably be what it's for. Cool, so Suicide Squad got nominated for an Oscar. Look at that. Out of all the hate, we got something in there. That makes sense for makeup and hairstyle, because every girl seemed like that was at a Comic-Con dressed up like Harley Quinn at one point out of this last year.
Well, the interesting one was none of these are DC properties, but Best Visual Effects category, Deepwater Horizon, but Doctor Strange, Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Rogue One and A Star Wars Story all were nominated for visual effects.
Okay. That
so
makes sense.
That's your sci-fi fantasy class.
Yeah.
So, Deepwater Horizon, wasn't that the one with Marky Mark as about an oil rig or something like that?
Yeah. And it's funny because I didn't think critics did they like that one a lot too? I heard some things about
it. I don't know.
I usually don't pay much
attention to the Oscars anymore.
Okay.
Because none of the movies I like ever get any good nominations.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. They got a pretty good score. They got 7.2 on there. So, hey, if you like the movie, guys, just go watch the movie. That's
exactly
how I feel now. but good. We got in there for an Oscar. I think the only comic book film period to ever win anything from there, wasn't that Batman, the Dark Knight films?
I don't know. What'd they win?
I think for sound or soundtrack.
Okay. I don't know.
We can keep going on the show. I'll tell you a little later when I'm looking that up right now, because I remember watching and I was like, wow, that's the only comic book film I ever heard of even getting that close and that far in there.
Well, as we're starting off the show today, actually, I want to throw this in just so that because you and I are both going to be there, and this show should be out before it's out. Anybody who it's this weekend, this Wednesday or this Monday, January 30th. Anybody who gets a chance who happens to be in the Northeast Ohio area, my other show, Geek Watch 1, we're having our 2-year anniversary party at the Malted Meeple in Hudson, Ohio. If you go to the Facebook page for Geek Watch 1, there's an event on there, and it will give you all the information on how to find it. We're going to have cake. We're going to sit back and talk about the geeky movie franchises that we usually don't talk about on the show or that we haven't talked about yet. But I know, Vernon, you hang out there with us. We have a bunch of our other friends that come out and hang out. If you're in the room with us, you're part of the show. That's the way that the Meeplecast works.
And they got just amazing milkshakes there, guys. You gotta try their brownies, their milkshakes, their popcorn. They just got a little bit of everything. And it's a odd flavors you might figure would never mix together. They do it very well.
Yes. So, and then every month they have like 4 special flavors where they try them out and see how well they do. Sometimes they're added to the menu later, sometimes they're not.
Yep.
So,
I just want to put this in here. I'm sorry, it was not a, it was not an Oscar or anything. It was an Academy Award.
That's an Oscar.
That's still okay. Oh, well, yeah, they won. Best Supporting Actor was Heath Ledger and Richard King for Best Sound Editing. So they took home 2 that night.
Nice.
Sweet.
So, but why don't we get into the TV stuff? Now, we already talked about Gotham. You got to catch up on Gotham so we can talk it on here.
Definitely have to. This episode, them coming back, seems like it's had a lot of promise to it, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first episode was all about Jokers without Jerome being on it. Until the very end, you see him frozen. And have you read any of the Batman Beyond stuff since Rebirth?
I read this is an ad. I don't want this. I read a couple of the first 2 issues.
Okay. Well, you remember what Terminal's trying to do, how he's trying to revive the Joker.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what this is at the beginning. This guy's actually trying to revive Jerome, because Jerome's not officially Joker, but we all know this is Joker, so he's going to be Joker.
Right. Well, that's it. Yeah, that's his Joker. As we said, if there's something going on in the DC comics, we're probably going to see either on the film or on the small screen.
Oh, yeah. They're using everything they can back and forth and up and down, and a lot of synergy between the brand.
Yeah, I'm liking their method with that, too, a lot. They don't try to push too many of the movies down your throat with the comic books as well. It's a pretty even spectrum there.
Yes.
They got a really good balance.
But let's get into the CW Flareverse. And we might as well start with Supergirl. That was the first thing that happened this week. And it was amazing. Supergirl found
Kevin
Stargate.
Kevin Smith did great. Yeah.
Tell me that didn't look like a Stargate when you first saw it.
I thought it was for a second. I was thinking we were going to get some type of Easter egg in there, or at least some type of mention, but I'm like, this isn't Flash, so he probably won't.
And then, no, all the Easter eggs and the mentions were saved for Legends of Tomorrow this week.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to pull up a list. There's some I forgot. I'm just... Seeing George Lucas on there, we won't get too much of that.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
We'll get to that one in just a second. But Supergirl, she and Mon-El are trying to... this lady has lost her daughter, and Snapper and Kara are listening to her story, and then Snapper Kara tells Kara, why are we helping this lady? We're new. This is not news. It's a runaway girl.
By the way, this runaway girl is Harley Quinn Smith, Kevin Smith's daughter.
Yes, so Harley Quinn was on Supergirl this week.
Yes, that's, oh my. Him giving her that name, she has so many expectations to live up to, but she's doing really well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that.
She's already playing in some shows now.
Mm-hmm. So, and he loves to give cameos usually to his friends and stuff, but he actually was able to cast his daughter in this one.
Yeah, he recently made a film, too. It was on Netflix.
Yoga Hosers.
I can't think of the name. Yes. She was in there. He had her. I thought it was a great film.
Well, you know who... I've not seen it yet, but do you know who the other girl is that was co-starring beside her?
No, I do not.
That was Johnny Depp's daughter.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And Johnny Depp's in the movie, too, but I guess he's under so much prosthetics and makeup that unless you know it's him, it's hard to see him.
I don't know. The movie was one of those just... It wasn't the best movie in the world, but if you want something to entertain you and you can laugh at, this is definitely a good movie.
Cool.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was, like I said, it wasn't the best, but it was just something to laugh at. And plus, Kevin Smith made it.
Yeah.
There's very few Kevin Smith movies I'm not going to watch and say I didn't like it.
See, I've even, like, the only one I've not seen of his other than Yoga Hosers now is Cop Out. I didn't get a chance to see that one yet.
I didn't because he just said he didn't enjoy his time on directing that, so I said I'll stay away from that one.
Yeah.
But
I guess he and Bruce
done.
Willis didn't get along too well.
No, even like the Jay and Silent Bob franchise, any film from there.
Oh, those movies are awesome. Even everybody says Jersey Girl is terrible. I actually like Jersey Girl for what it was.
Okay. Dogma, that was great. Clerks, Jay and Silent Bob, Strike Back. Yeah, he's got a good list. But
actually, I have a signed copy of the 10th anniversary edition of Mallrats, signed by Kevin Smith.
Do you really? Wow, that's awesome.
There was a while that you could actually, if you ordered something off of his website and you were willing to wait for it, he would sign it for free. But you had to wait, but he had a stack of stuff on his desk. So it was, every so often he'd sit down and just sign a bunch of stuff. And when he got to your item, he would ship it off to you as soon as he was done.
That's respect right there. Not too many people do that. They'll just leave that stack there. They might pick something, say, oh, I'll get to it in a second, or never do it. So thank you, Kevin.
But, and this one, it really didn't feel like a Kevin Smith official episode. It felt like
it
a Supergirl episode.
Yeah. Trying to figure out how to put this. It didn't feel like Kevin Smith even touched it, except for his daughter being in there.
Yeah, he's actually a very good director.
Yeah.
And he's loving TV, obviously, because he's doing Supergirl and Flash. And I think he's supposed to have an Arrow episode this year, isn't he?
I think so. And he's been putting a lot of videos out on his YouTube page about how he's working with DC and what he thinks the DC films, how they're doing. So... I don't know if he signed. I guess he's had to sign some type of contract with them.
I don't know. If not, then at least with Berlanti.
Okay, that would go.
But I guess I saw also there was a just a news flip that was on TV. I didn't or on the news feeds when I was looking. I didn't put it on here because it was so small. But I guess Robin Lord Taylor, who plays Penguin on Gotham, he was talking about how he wants Kevin to come over and do an episode of Gotham also.
That would be good.
I mean, he's just an actor, but.
I mean, that would be nice. Kevin Smith can direct almost anything you put him on, especially with these DC heroes.
Yeah, that and something especially in the Batman universe. Obviously, he loves Batman. Look what he named his daughter.
Right. I just want to say there was, to start off this Easter egg thing we're doing here, the first Easter egg was in the title.
Yes, for Supergirl, yes. The title of the episode was Supergirl Lives.
That was a nod to a Superman movie, Superman Lives, exactly. If you remember that.
That was the one, actually, they were trying to, that Nick Cage was supposed to star as Superman.
Right.
And I believe Kevin Smith was writing it and possibly going to be directing it after, wasn't that after Tim Burton had walked away?
Yeah, it was. And there, I think they were just trying to find anybody to do something with the property at that point.
Yeah. So, but basically, the Supergirl and Mon-El go to find that these kids have been kidnapped by Roulette and been given to these intergalactic slavers on another planet. So they have this portal that takes them to the other planet. The problem is, when Mon-El and Supergirl get there, this planet has a red sun.
Yeah,
so
and that's,
neither one of them
like
have powers.
People.
Yeah, they don't have powers at all.
And that was actually was another Easter egg. Nog was the Stargate.
Yeah.
So that was, we were right on that.
So they transport to the other planet, and eventually, what's her name? Alex brings the strike team through. They save everybody, and they come back home. So there was a lot of really cool stuff in here. But what were some of the other really cool moments you saw in there?
Moments. There weren't too many big moments until we got toward the end of it.
Yeah.
That I was really liking. The Red Sun aspect, I like that they put that in there, because I didn't know if they were going to just make her more so, like, a little bit stronger than Superman when it came to Red Sun, or going to treat him just like a Kryptonian should. And they did right. And Mon-El, he's becoming more of a hero. I think we could give him that Green Lantern ring at some point.
Well, that, and you got, did you notice some of the, we learned a little bit about Mon-El, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, he's, people are looking for him. They're looking for his head.
Well, I think also, the way, because you noticed there was a Dominator there also. That you catch that one?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was a Dominator
there.
There was a Dominator on this planet going through looking for slaves. Yeah, that spooked me. I'm like, wait, we're not supposed to see you guys anymore. We took care of you. Leave.
But when everybody's escaping, the aliens are shooting at them, and the Dominator stops them. Mon-El's the only one standing behind blocking everybody, and the Dominator stops them from shooting at him.
Yeah,
he said,
like,
no, you can't shoot this one.
Yeah.
Now, my theory, since the beginning, Vicky and I both have come up with this theory that we know the whole backstory of Mon-El was that he was the chief guard for the Prince of Daxam.
Mm-hmm.
We think, actually, you flipped that, and he was the Prince of Daxam.
Huh.
What's the chance that he was the Prince? So instead of the Prince making him take off, he took off and left his guard and everybody behind.
Something like what we heard from Miss Martian when she was saying, yeah, there was this white Martian that saved me? She was the white Martian.
Exactly.
Okay, I can see if they do that. That'd be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense if they did that.
So we're definitely gonna get more of that because we got some kind of and those are obviously bounty hunters that were looking for him.
Of course.
So we'll figure that out here in coming episodes. And then
they also the red shirt reference. I was gonna say that was pretty cool from Star Trek.
Yes, with I always blank on names. Wynn.
Yeah.
Agent Wynn had to go off planet today, on this episode.
And he didn't get punched. Well, he did. He got a little tussle, but he won the fight this time.
Yeah, he won the fight, so it proved that he's not the red shirt. He's not going to die on the away mission.
No.
Well, let's move on to Flash. And Flash, I love the Flash. I love the Flash no matter what. Yeah. That's got to be my number one superhero show on TV right now.
Yeah, that's been my number one superhero show on TV for like the past, 3 years now?
Yeah. So, yeah, this is third season.
Wow.
So,
am I nowhere?
We had some advances in the Barry and Iris storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Barry got some happy time with Iris.
Oh, yeah.
They've been living
I'm sitting here thinking, this is moving along quickly.
Well, he's the Flash. How else is he supposed to move?
Well, yeah.
But they were living in the apartment for about a month now.
Maybe.
So that was confirmed. I think they're moving along real time right now.
Yeah.
So isn't she supposed to die in April or something like that, where Savitar comes back? And
yeah, about 4 months away.
So that adds up around the same time the show probably will be coming to its season finale, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know that'll be either the finale or the episode right before the finale.
Yeah. So they're doing with real life time right now, and I like that. It doesn't confuse us too much.
We also got to see Wally come into his own as Kid Flash. Now he's finally actually working with the Flash and taking down villains.
Yeah, I love this Wally. And plus, I keep loving how they say he's faster than Barry. He's faster than Barry because, as me and you know, Wally is the faster Flash.
Yeah. Or he eventually becomes the faster Flash.
Well, he will. He's just Kid Flash right now. I'm jumping ahead of myself.
Yeah.
But I think he can really help Barry with what's going on. We got to see that towards the end of the episode. Another big thing that happened this episode, Caitlin Snow coming back as Killer Frost is definitely going to be a big thing that happens. We're seeing a news article. that was or on a news screen when they're reading all the events that's going to be coming up in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of the season, she'll probably become evil again, and I don't know what's all going to happen with that. We may ever get her back. She may be like what Black Siren is to Arrow.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is, are they going to they showed all these headlines that they have to change in order to possibly change the future. Mm-hmm. How do you think they're going to change some? One of those they already changed. That Kid Flash caught the villain this week instead of Flash. One of them that caught my eye was which one was it? Oh, now I'm drawing a blank. What were those headlines? Do you remember some of the headlines?
Off the top of my head, not really.
One of them we know coming up in the next 10 to 12 episodes, we're going to get a gorilla attack.
Oh yeah, that's right. They cut that one really short. They were like, "Yeah, gorilla attack," and then they stopped. I'm like,
"Well, it was a news ticker at the bottom of the screen, so they're just reading off the headlines."
Right, but that means we're going to get this before season's over. Definitely.
Exactly. So Gorilla Grodd will be back with a whole army of gorillas or something. There was another one that caught my eye that I thought was a real easy one for them to change.
There are so many. I'm trying to think of which one was it.
I don't remember. I'll remember later. It'll come back to me halfway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to see.
I'm trying to think, who was the main villain on the show this time?
For this one, it was that guy with the eye patch.
What was his name, though?
I'm going to have to bring up the thing here, but
I'm looking for it right now.
This is excellent podcasting. You know that, right? We definitely do all of our homework every time.
Every time, guys.
So, as the internet runs slow here.
You know what? I can't find it on the IMDb
on what?
Website. I figured that was
ooh.
Just his name, the actor I was playing. They don't
I kicked over
it.
To comicbook.com to look this up real quick. And the top headline on here, Black Flash confirmed for Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh. Interesting. Wonder how they're going to work that in there.
I don't know.
We already got Reverse Flash.
Well, we've got Reverse Flash, we've got Professor Zoom, we've got Savitar, we've got almost everybody so far.
Man, just keep popping them out. We need all these villains.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I can't think of the... I'm trying to find the villain's name. I'm still looking for it. But this whole episode revolved around him, and he was the main reason why Barry wasn't being the true hero that he usually is.
Exactly.
He wasn't taking him down fast. He was letting him just keep causing havoc because he didn't want to... The reason why he didn't want to say or stop him was he was trying to save Iris. And the only thing that was really stopping the events from happening is by letting him go. Because in the first timeline he saw, from the first news arc we saw when he went into the future, was that guy got captured. And then... after he got captured, the events started to spiral closer to what happens to Iris' death. So he figured if he didn't save this guy and just let him go free, he could prevent Iris from dying because he already changed the future.
Yeah. My internet's working really, really slow right now.
Uh-oh. As long as that doesn't interrupt us.
No. But... it's all running. It's all good. Here we go. This episode was Dead or Alive.
Right.
And the villain you're looking for was...
Plunder. I just found it.
Plunder, yes.
The Plunder, and Cisco didn't get to name him this time.
No.
HR did.
HR's been doing a lot of that recently. One of the headlines was, when you mentioned HR, it reminded me.
Okay.
One of the headlines was the Star Labs Museum closes. Now, what's the chance of changing that so that the Star Labs Museum closes...
But it becomes the Flash Museum.
Opens up as a Flash Museum.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking when they opened up the museum. I'm like, wait a minute, this is going to be Flash's museum, right? At some point, we already got the Hall of Justice owned by the Flash, owned by Barry, so he could definitely get his own museum.
Oh, yeah. Eventually, yes. Another one I'd like to see some point in the future is actually get the Rogues together more to where they actually are working as a loose group a little more than what they have in the past.
That would be nice, but I don't think they're going to do it this season. They'll probably wait till next season if they do make a Flash. Because I doubt we're going to get a big, big part of that Flash Museum we'll probably get a glimpse of, but we're not going to be so focused on next season. We probably will, and as we all know, the Rogues always want to crash anything that happens with the museum.
Oh yeah. Well, also another rumor I heard for possible future seasons would be possible a story arc about the trial of the Flash. Do you remember that from the 70s? It was a huge Flash storyline where the Flash was actually on trial for murder.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They may actually try to tackle that. Yeah, they may try to tackle that storyline.
That was a dark Flash story until we got Rebirth again. Rebirth, I'm sorry, Flashpoint.
Well, no, because that was back in the 70s, so there was a lot of stuff before that, or since then.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, at first that was like the major dark thing, because Flash Murray, somebody was like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, he didn't do it.
He didn't do it, but just that title itself was striking.
Yeah. So, but we got to get moving on. And the next one to move on to is Legends of Tomorrow. With George Lucas and Star Wars. Oh, you want to do Arrow first?
Yeah, let's save that one for last. I really like what they did with Legends.
Legends is the show they can have all the fun they want with.
Yeah, and plus that's the one show that's, it's not really based off too many things in the books, not a main comic. Yeah. Flash has his own book, Arrow's got his own book, Supergirl's got his own book, Legends didn't have their own book until recent, and it's not the team that we see on TV either.
Yeah, it was an anthology book.
It was. But real quick before we do move on there, I just want to say that, wow, what's his name? Oh, crap. He's on the team now. He's on the Flash team.
Julian.
Yes, Julian's now on the team of Flash because of Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's going to stab them in the back at some point.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because he kind of out of nowhere decided, oh, yeah, maybe I do want to help you guys out.
Yeah.
He was adamant against it to start with. And then randomly out of nowhere decides, hey, let's do this.
Yeah, he didn't want to join that for several reasons. I think, honestly, as he said, Caitlin was why he didn't want to join.
Oh, well, that and Barry also.
We also got a little mention of the Music Meister.
Yes, we got and we know that the Music Meister is going to be the villain for the Arrow or the Flash and Supergirl crossover show, the Musical Spectacular.
Yeah, I'm looking him up right now, and
I believe his power set is very much like a Pied Piper type thing, where through music he does mind control.
Right.
He makes you sing, and then when you start singing, you actually start doing whatever he wants.
I'm just going to say this. I'm ready for the campiness of this episode. It's just, to me, it's going to be goofy, but we're going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. So,
But that was really it from The Flash I wanted to mention.
Okay.
So we can go on. And Cisco made up with HR. I think they're on a good terms now.
Yes. And next week, we actually get a Cisco-centric episode.
We're going to get a vibe. We're finding a vibe. And we got a little mention from Gypsy. It seems like they're going... doing a same routine for all the shows that happened this week. We got HR being tracked down by Gypsy. In Arrow, we get, who's getting tracked down in there? Well, no one's really getting tracked down. You just got a mention of a Black Canary.
Yeah.
And then, in Supergirl, we got Mon-El being tracked down.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little of a reoccurring thing, but hey, this is what happens when you time travel and go from a different world.
That's right. So, on to Arrow. And the cliffhanger from the mid-season finale was...
I was right.
Laurel Lance is back.
But she's not...
Well, we find
Laurel
out
Lance,
that...
We
well, no, it is Laurel Lance. According to the beginning of the show, it is Laurel Lance. Supposedly
Laurel
she was
Lance,
teleported out, which Vicky and I looked at each other and said, wait a minute, teleport? The Wave Rider doesn't have teleportation.
Yeah.
But supposedly she was teleported out at the last second before she died, and the technology on the Wave Rider fixed her, and they dropped her off now.
That was a complete and utter lie. I could just see it coming out of her mouth. But
see, the thing is, way that these Legends is done, they actually could have paid that off sometime in the future and actually done it.
Yeah, there's a small bit of hope I had saying maybe this is I figured this was still the Laurel from a different universe or a different world.
Of course, we find out it is. It's Laurel from Earth 2. It's Black Siren.
Yeah, remember I called down the last episode, or whenever we did the last episode for the Arrow before the mid-season finale, I'm saying this is going to be Black Siren from Earth 2 coming in here, but she's going to pose as Laurel. Maybe we could get her turned good, or maybe not.
Well, I forgot she was actually in prison here. I thought she was back on Earth 2 again.
I did forget about that. I completely forgot about that. I thought she somehow got some technology to transfer from both worlds, but yeah, she did come here in the Flash, and they stopped her and had her locked up. But we didn't know she escaped until this episode.
Exactly. So most of the episode revolved around them trying to catch Laurel and her going back. It is awesome to see the actual canary effects and the actual canary's cry coming from her.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Prometheus is now just scary. How the heck did he get in Star Labs?
Yeah.
And Free Black? How did he do that?
I have no idea, man.
What friends does this guy know?
Yeah, and then if you look, it was like a glitch in the film, and they both disappeared, so I don't know.
Yes, you kind of need a speedster for that. Hmm.
Or teleportation or portals, something like that.
But who would use that?
I don't know.
We can get a little deep in there and, as the series go by.
Yeah.
But we did get a reveal of a Al Ghul.
Yes, we did get to see Talia Al Ghul.
They said they were going to put her on the season, but I didn't know when. And we finally got to see her. I think she's going to train Ollie, which is weird because is she using the Lazarus Pit or how's this going?
I don't know. I have no idea where this is going and how it's going, because they've never even mentioned her before. Oh, no. No, they did. In Legends, remember, she was a child. Way back in the late 60s,
okay, that's
early
right.
70s.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm thinking about with...
Nissa was not born yet, but Talia was.
Right, because she's the younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
He better not do nothing. Bruce Wayne's coming for him if he does.
Or I'll Nissa, not Nissa.
Nessa.
Yeah, Nissa's sleeping there beside you.
And she is. Well, yeah, she just said that. She actually just got up. Now she's yawning. Cute self. But that happened in Arrow. And what was the other big... Oh, Miss Terrific. What did you think he meant by when he told Wild Dog, that's not exactly what I'm going to do by setting the fight out, but I'm going to use more of my brain power? Think we're going to get more Terrific Balls?
I'm thinking we might get T-Balls.
Yeah.
But
I'm hoping
so. If I remember in the comic books, he's not a really big on actual brawling.
No, he's not. I seen him in a recent comic book I had somewhere, and when he was attacked, everybody was fighting. Thinking to myself, Mr. Terrific, you shouldn't be doing all this. All you have are those tease balls. You're not really a big brawler.
Yeah, so we'll find out.
Also, this is the big thing that happened in Arrow that shocked us all. There's a new Black Canary on.
Yes. Now, has there been more than one, or I know there's been more than one Black Canary, but is there anybody that's not related to Dinah that's a Black Canary in the comic books?
Looking up right now, no. It's because before it was in an older family member or something like that.
Her mother was Black Canary, the original Black Canary.
Okay, yeah, and that was, let's see, how many Black Canaries have there been? That's the Brave and the Bold, Black Canary first appeared, let's see. Yeah, there's only been two.
Okay. So, according to this, though, the character that is, it says a spoiler for season 5, well, you see her at the end of the episode, because Ollie says he's got to start looking for someone to be the Black Canary, because Laurel had asked him to don't let the Black Canary fade away.
Right, and just as he says that, and they're looking at the costume saying, well, I know there's going to be somebody else to take up the Black Canary mantle, but I don't know where she is. And then we go to a bar scene as these two guys order a drink from a waitress, and then they start harassing her. Then there's a lady at the bar with a leather jacket on, comes out of nowhere, stands up for the woman, and Canary cries them right out the window. But she doesn't look anything like what our Black Canary looks. She doesn't even look like the comic book Black Canary, still not a blonde.
I don't know. The article I found about this doesn't say anything about her history in comic books or anything else. So,
I know of when I looked up earlier, she's not in the comic books. This is either an alias they're making up to hide who she truly is from the fans, or this is a complete new character.
Yeah. So we'll find out as we go.
We will. So I wonder if now we'll get to. I don't care at this point if it's Laura or not. I really don't. I just want to see Green Arrow and Black Canary as a relationship on this TV show. It has to happen. Yeah, I can't do this anymore. They need to come together. They came together in the comics too, and as we said, if it's happening in the books, it seems like they're going to transfer that to the TV shows, so we're probably going to get that at some point.
Okay. Well, all we got left for this week then is the Legends of Tomorrow. And this thing was full of Easter eggs for Star Wars, Indiana Jones, anything George Lucas.
Hey, George Lucas, yeah.
We even got, Mike, I know you're listening out there, we even got a Howard the Duck reference.
And they kind of dissed it too, you know.
I know. I actually enjoyed Howard the Duck, the movie. It was fun. It wasn't the greatest movie ever made, but it was fun.
But hey, I think the reason why I did this, we're with DC. Howard the Duck is not.
No. So you got a Marvel reference on a DC show.
that was hilarious.
But we catch up with we find Rip Hunter, but he doesn't remember he's Rip Hunter.
I'm trying to figure out how, did he brainwash himself or?
Well, no, they said in the show, somehow his brain got reprogrammed when he actually touched the heart of the time drive on the ship. So remember, he actually transported through time without a ship, and it rewired his brain a little bit.
That bad, though?
That's
the one thing I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, did it get him that bad?
Yeah, he doesn't, but it's weird because he does have the memories, but they're all scrambled up and he just thinks it's just a story he had. That's why the movie he's making, if you remember that student film he's making, it's very similar to Legends of Tomorrow.
Hmm.
It has Rip Hunter, it has Vandal Savage, and the guy that had played Vandal Savage, it was awesome. I'm wondering if that was not one of the stunt guys that played Vandal in the first season. Remember that?
It could have been. Yeah.
They just used one of his stunt guys that it looks close enough to him that they use him for stunts.
Like him.
Yeah. So, but they're making the film. They end up doing the trash compactor scene from Star Wars, including some of the lines in there, word for word lines from Star Wars.
Yeah. This was great. Yeah, it was awesome. Because then I think with all the weird mystical items they had, that was a big part of also Indiana Jones that George Lucas is probably going to put in some of his films.
Well, yeah. If you look, the amulet feels a lot like the amulet of Ra from Raiders of the Lost Ark. And remember, the amulet of Ra was also showed on the map where to go to find the Well of Souls. Well, this one, it shows you where the Spear of Destiny is. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did. And the thing I was trying to remember was a lot of the things that they were doing for the show is going to give George Lucas all the ideas for his future movies. And even when they went there and they're saying, hey, you need to stay in school and stay in the film school, they're like, your only hope, George. Like,
yes.
You know where that's coming from.
Uh-huh. This whole thing was an homage to George Lucas, which I thought was phenomenal being a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, same here. And the man's 72 years old, and he's done a lot that if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have a Citizen Steel, and we wouldn't have an Adam.
Exactly.
Well, to let you guys know what happened on there, George Lucas was working with Rip Hunter, and Rip Hunter doesn't know he's Rip right now. He's just a film director making a movie about the Legends team he was previously with. And George Lucas is working with him on the film. But when all this goes down, we get to see some of the Legion of Doom. We get to see Reverse Flash wasn't in there yet, but we did get to see Malcolm Merlyn and Dark scare the crap out of Lucas. He said, I'm leaving. I'm going back home. And when he did that, Adam forgot who he was or what his real ability was. And so did Citizen Steel. They didn't go into college to do what they wanted to do. One became a yoga instructor. Another became a
heart surgeon.
Yeah. So everything they were showing them saying, hey, you should be able to find this. Adam's saying, I don't know none of this stuff. It's like I'm forgetting who I am.
If George Lucas never made his movies, it never would have inspired them to go into the fields they were. Indiana Jones inspired Nate to become a historian.
Right.
And Star Wars inspired
Adam.
Ray to become an inventor.
Yeah. The sci-fi, the action, it drew them, and it also drew a lot of us into why we're into comic books and superhero films right now was because of George Lucas.
Exactly.
One for Star Wars, I wouldn't be into hardly none of this nerd culture as hard as I am. It gave me a whole complete different world.
Exactly. So, but Legends was awesome.
Yes, it was. Oh, by the end of it, also another thing. Mick isn't as crazy as we think, guys.
Well, he is.
He is, but not seeing Captain Cold. I guess someone implanted something in his head, and when Captain Cold blew up, his became like a time ghost?
Well, remember at the end, though, Professor Stein found out that device has not been working for months, so that's not what's causing these problems.
It looks like it might be a remnant out there.
He was saying what he thinks this is, that why Mick is seeing Captain Cold, seeing Leonard, is the fact it's like the devil on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It's his old nature trying to say, hey, wait, you're changing. I don't know if I like this. It's the devil on his shoulder where he's working towards the angel side.
I still think it's something more than that. I don't know what it is. And we're supposed to see Captain Cold in this season, so
yeah,
I don't know how
he'll be showing up
this.
In the next one or two episodes probably, because they need to put this together. They did say there's going to be a Legion of Doom-centric episode coming up later this season.
Yeah, oh, that was the other thing, Easter egg. Why are you calling them Legion of Doom? It used to be an old cartoon I used to watch when I was younger, Hanna-Barbera.
Exactly,
cartoon.
An old Hanna-Barbera cartoon that I used to watch when I was a kid, which is great because if anybody, you guys, everybody listening to the show should know this. The Super Friends, which the Legion of Doom came from, the Super Friends TV show was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon from the 70s and 80s. So.
And with everything going on with Hanna-Barbera in DC, and then we got to hear the Legion of Doom, it's like this is just being perfect. It's nothing but an Easter egg episode.
Yeah.
And then also Jack's wardrobe was a big nod to Flint, and he also had the blaster. I'm thinking, huh, he looks like, not Flint, I'm sorry, Jax looked like Finn from Star Wars Force Awakens, and I'm like, he's running around like Finn a lot in here.
Like I said, this whole episode was an homage to George Lucas and Lucasfilm.
I did not know the actress that's playing Vixen right now played in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
She did? Wait, yes. She was crud. She had a small part.
She was a 2-second cameo. It was when they were blowing up the world and she was one of the people
on the balcony.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so there was a lot more Easter eggs in here too, and I already mentioned the only hole, the garbage. Okay, that was really it. We've mentioned everything now. But, yeah, it was a fun episode. Anytime they bring one of these historians or someone from history that's made something amazing for all of us, Albert Einstein, George Lucas, it's going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, like I said, Legends is the show that they're able to do anything they want and just have a good time with it.
But they are going to torture Rip. They were not able to get him back on the ship. White Canary felt really bad about that. But he doesn't really remember who he is, so maybe them torturing him may help. Maybe it won't. We're going to see Rip again some point in the season. I just hope they didn't mess him up too bad.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much all of our TV for this week right now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
The rest of the news articles are pretty quick little things here. We can do just a couple of quick rundowns. I'll run the first two real quick. The Aquaman story, you're going to have to help me out with a little bit, I think.
I was going to help you with that one, I figured.
Okay. Well, first one's just real quick. We know that the Flash movie has been having some issues. They've had a couple of directors, they've had a couple of writers. Well, they've now got another new writer on The Flash. Now remember, this movie is supposed to be released March of 2018. Next year in March, March 16th. That's when it's scheduled to be released. But Warner Brothers has enlisted screenwriter Joby Harold for a page one rewrite. Means basically a rewrite from the beginning of the script. Brand new, everything new. For the Flash movie in 2018. Now, this guy's the guy who wrote the upcoming King Arthur Legend of the Sword movie, but he's also worked on several unproduced projects, including Frank Miller's Ronin and Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead. So he's worked with comic book people before, and he's got a King Arthur movie coming up, but he's the one that's been hired to write the brand new script. And they said, in the movie industry parlance, a page one rewrite involves substantial changes to the script that could include changes to characters, story, and structure. So this could be a brand new script, something they haven't even looked at before. Now, Rick Famuyiwa actually left the movie in late 2016 after more creative differences with Warner Brothers. So we don't know right now. This it's scheduled, like I said, for March 16th, 2018, but that's possibly up in the air now.
Yeah, they need to move it back. I don't want to move. No, like I said, I like Suicide Squad, but they didn't have that long to film it, and we've seen what happened with the critics and other naysayers. But I can see where they're coming from. I don't disagree with everything they're saying. I still like the film, but there were issues with it, and one of the reasons why is because DC and Warner Brothers, they can't seem to come to a good level of communication where they can let them actually do what they want. Warner Brothers needs to let them stop putting their hand in things. I think just let the directors be free will of what they want to do. I think Rick Famuyiwa probably would have been the perfect director. As I said, he was doing his research. He was having these Flash comics. He was really enthusiastic about working with them, but he left for obvious reasons. And I don't blame any of the directors actually for leaving. We're seeing a trend with what Warner Bros. Is doing, and I don't like it. Even with Ben Affleck, he's staying strong with this, and I'm glad he is, but they have issues, and I hope it gets worked out. And with the way this is going, I don't know. I'm a little worried.
Yeah. The next one is before that comes out, we do have Aquaman supposed to be coming out next year in July of 2018. This one's already getting ready to go in front of the camera.
Yes. Now this one seems like it's more on track. I haven't heard too many problems with this. I think James Wan is just—he might just know how to roll with the punches.
Yeah, well, I guess they had the first sit-down table read of the script, which is amusing that this movie is supposed to come out July of 2018. The Flash is supposed to be out March of 2018, and they don't even have a script yet.
That's what scares me. You cannot. It's hard to film a movie without a script in less than a year. Yeah, you can't do a film less than a year. So
but it's hard to do a superhero film in less than a year.
Right. So,
but
that's what I'm afraid for. I feel like they're being rushed. If they can change out directors like 5 or 7 times, I don't care. But if you're going to give these guys less than a year to direct the film and create it, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Well, this year it was actually James Wan. Do you know who he's playing in this?
James Wan?
Yeah.
He's directing.
Is he the director?
Okay. Yeah, he's the director.
Well, he's the director for Aquaman, sitting at a table reading. He has a picture of him, Jason Momoa. What's the other two actors' names? That's Amber Heard, right? She's playing Mara. And who's the other one there?
Patrick Wilson's playing Orm, Aquaman's brother.
Okay. Well,
the only one that's not here that's from the film that we know so far that's been cast is William Dafoe.
And it says he's playing Nudis Volko. Who's that?
He's like the scientist, a doctor that works in Atlantis.
Okay. But they're sitting there at the table, Reed, just showing, hey, we're all here. Now, James Wan actually previously described Aquaman as a swashbuckling action adventure, sort of a high seas adventure story, a quest story in the spirit of Raiders of the Lost Ark and Romancing the Stone, and there will be a dynamic between Arthur and Mara. And there will be a dynamic between Arthur and Mara start off as a love-hate relationship,
mm-hmm.
where they don't quite click, and as time goes by, they work together and they get closer and closer.
You know what? What if Aquaman is going to be the best DC superhero film they put out so far?
It's possible. Well, it depends. That would be Wonder Woman coming this year.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm just seeing a lot of promise. For some reason, I don't know. I'm just seeing a lot of promise with Aquaman.
Yeah. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people, because a lot of people think of Aquaman as what they saw in the Super Friends, where it's just a guy walking around talking to fish.
I mean, none of them really were like that. I mean, Wonder Woman, her Invisible Jet, doesn't work that way. Aquaman just talking to fish, doesn't work that way. Superman's only weakness is not kryptonite. Batman and Robin aren't that quirky. They've changed. That was the Super Friends. It was a time and an era for everything, and that was just that for the cartoons in that day. But we've advanced so far from that.
Oh, yeah. So the next one we got up.
Really it for Aquaman. This picture was popping up a lot on social media though. This is being retweeted and reblogged and reposted like crazy.
And the next one we have in movie news is actually one that you put up there about John Cleese of all people.
Yeah, this is a really short article, guys. This is something I just found out. This happened today.
Falls in the rumor category.
Yeah, this is definitely a big rumor. Now the tweet came out on January 20th, but John Cleese was doing a Q&A. And before this, they took a picture on Twitter, and he has a stack of books right beside him, says, in the Twitter picture, getting into character before tonight's Q&A in Worcester,
Massachusetts.
He's reading DC's Extended Universe right now. He's reading Justice League Origin, The Dark Knight Returns, and Batman Noir, Black Mirror. So if he's reading all these DC books and he's trying to get in character, He's got to be playing for DC, guys. This is definitely... and he's also being followed right now by Zack Snyder and Ben Affleck. So if it's not going to be for a Justice League film, it's definitely going to be for an up-and-coming Batman film.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be a character in the DC universe at some point.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who. With his persona, I was thinking he could be an Alfred, but then I'm like, wait a minute, we already got an Alfred.
Yeah, we already have Alfred.
I have no idea who he could play. He could be a villain's parent for all we know. I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't know who. Now, Cleese can play serious roles also. He's known for his comedy, but he can do all kinds of stuff.
But with his accent, who would he play in Gotham City?
You can get rid of an accent.
True. True. To me, that's really what makes him... Yeah, he could. That really brings out his persona as an actor. But we don't know yet. We have no idea. He did play in Monty Python.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the original Monty Pythons.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually well-known as an director also.
Is he? I didn't know that. I didn't know he directed.
Oh, yeah. There's some huge movies that you would have heard of that John Cleese directed. Give me half a second. I will bring up his IMDb, and I'll let you know. But
I was doing the same thing as well.
Yeah, this is supposed to... the rumor is he's playing a character for Justice League.
And he is 6'5", so this dude is pretty dang on tall.
Yeah. So let me go into here. In his filmography, he's got... get rid of that. Writer, producer, director. He directed 3 films. A Fish Called Wanda is the major one that he directed, but I got ads at the top of my screen. I can't get rid of stuff. But he's an actor, producer. There we go. 150 roles as an actor.
Wow.
He's better known as a writer than as a director, though. He wrote The Croods, the cartoon about the cavemen.
Okay. Oh, wow. I didn't know. He did that?
Yeah.
Wow.
He works a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. So a lot of the Monty Python stuff he wrote. He's been a producer, soundtrack. He's worked everywhere in Hollywood, so.
Wow, so
he never know what he's going to do.
He definitely paid his dues.
Yes. So it's going to be interesting to see what they have him do.
Okay. Well, hey, bring another good actor into DC films. Like I said, if it's going to be for Justice League or Batman. I'm thinking more so Batman because he's had a lot. You didn't see too many Aquamans or Superman books. It was like Batman and Justice League, and Justice League because Batman's in there, so you probably want to get a little. Good insight of that. So.
Well, I was thinking maybe he's doing the Justice League movie, but he's looking at a character that's a Batman character that's in the Justice League movie.
Hmm. Well, And for, honestly, from what we've seen with Jai Courtney in The Flash and Suicide Squad, that scene from Suicide Squad was pulled out of Justice League. So they could be crossing movies right now for all we know.
Exactly.
We're just going to have to wait and see.
I'm looking up another for our next story. But that's all for that one. The next one, we have one more before we get to our previews and reviews. But this one's actually for anybody who wants to check out any of the Rebirth digital titles. The Rebirth collections that they've started putting out. The first six issues and trades and things. But you don't want to spend the money on the trade. If you go to check out with your local library and check out the Hoopla app. Hoopla. And it's actually a library's digital lending app. You can actually download and read comic books and borrow them basically from your local library on your phone or your tablet or your computer. And DC Comics has just put out... Hang on, they put a... They announced they're expanding their comic offering with titles from the DC Universe Rebirth are coming to Hoopla. And they're actually on there now. I opened up the Hoopla app that I have here.
Oh,
and
sweet.
Under new arrivals, it's all Rebirth stuff.
Good.
The first ones that pop up is they got Justice League, Flash, Aquaman, Batman, Superman, Arrow, or Green Arrow. The DC Universe Rebirth Deluxe Edition is on here. I mean, if you look through the DC list, there is all kinds of stuff on here in the DC list.
Hmm.
I mean, you can go the entire Death of Superman, the Death of Superman, Funeral for a Friend, and Reign of the Superman is on here. Flashpoint's on here. The different Flashpoint collections are on here, like Flashpoint Green Lantern, Flashpoint The Flash. Hoopla is actually a really good app for if you don't want to have to actually buy the comics, you just want to read it. You borrow it here, and then it goes back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, a couple of my friends, they go to the library to read some of their comics, so now that's a good app.
Our buddy Bart does that, too. He actually works at the library. He loves it because his job is actually ordering books for the library, so he gets to order whatever stuff he wants to read.
Hmm. This will come in handy.
Oh, yeah. So that's what's going on. Some of the ones they said in the actual article, they talk about how DC Universe Rebirth Deluxe Edition that I told you about, Green Arrow... Number one, Death and Life of Oliver Queen, and Superman Volume One, Son of Superman, are the three that they announced here officially. So this is a pretty big article, but yeah, they looks like a very large selection of the Rebirth collections is going to be available there on Hoopla. And all you need is a library card. Library cards are free, everybody. Go down to your library, sign up for a card, then you download the Hoopla app and sign in with your library card. As long as your library uses it. I know our library here in Akron uses it, so... But... That's actually all the news stuff I had. This was kind of a light news week, but it was heavy on the actual premieres of the new TV and stuff.
Yeah, it was. I did see another article. I'm not going to get too much into that, but they're going to deal with gun control after what's going on with Chicago.
Oh, yeah, the Deathstroke stuff.
Yeah, Deathstroke's going to be the first comic book superhero to actually deal with this kind of thing. And him being the character he is, that makes sense. Deathstroke is going to go into the town, just arrived in Chicago. Deathstroke is not the first comic book superhero you would think of, though, when it comes to Chicago. And certainly not the most obvious supervillain they would use to address this gun violence. He's not really a superhero at all, though. Deathstroke is an anti-hero. He's a warrior, ninja, samurai, and a jerk. Then it just kind of goes into how he was created, but that's really all they got right now. We won't really know what's going to happen until the book comes out. But with all the bias that's going there, I wonder what kind of take they're going to put on their DC Comics. But as I said, DC Comics did tackle the heroin problem, too, that happened when it first came about with the Green Arrow and Green Lantern storyline.
Oh, yeah, with Roy Harper being addicted to heroin.
Yeah, so I really think that DC, if somebody's going to tackle an issue like this, DC is the ones to go to, at least for a big comic book company to hit the media.
Oh, yeah. So that...
That was it for DC News, at least everything I got.
Okay, that ends my list, so I guess it's time to actually do some reviews.
Mm-hmm, let's get into the
These are our Rebirth reviews for January 18th, 2017. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just going to start with Superman, because the other three all go together.
Right.
So we have Superman number 15, and we see on the cover Superman cuddling up with the little bunny. But you want to go ahead and go through the walkthrough, and then we'll talk about it?
I was going to let you probably do more so of this. I figured this was something more for you, and I was going to put in my little stuff.
Sounds
good
to me.
But the Earth 14 thing definitely looks like something out of Flashpoint.
Yeah. You start off
These
with
are
Earth-
some violent villains. Or Earth violent 14, heroes.
Well, it's Earth 14. home of the Justice League of Assassins. And this is definitely a post-apocalyptic type world. And it shows the Superman of Earth 14, where he's got a face mask on, and instead of the S shield on his chest, it's still the diamond shield, but it's got a skull in it. Then the S is actually just on his utility belt, and it's a utility belt like what Batman would wear. And they're fighting these things that are saying consume, consume, and they're fighting back and forth. You find all the actual heroes are here. Aquaman's here, Wonder Woman's in here. But they all look like something out of Wacky Raceland. Or Mad Max, yeah.
Well, that was what the new Wacky Raceland was about, was the post-apocalyptic version of Mad Max's world and the Wacky Racers connected together. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So they're fighting back and forth, fighting, and there's looks like they're holding their own until out of nowhere, there's a bright flash in the sky. This thing starts talking and says, "You're such an inefficient fighting unit. You managed to kill all of the gatherers and the creatures attacking, but all he's got to say is a valiant last stand for the Justice League of Assassins." And then this blue light comes through and starts cutting everybody in half, except for Superman. But
it does shred
his armor off of him, and you find he's all, he's basically all
burned up
and crazy, and the red energy kind of flowing out of him. The S is actually burned into his chest.
But, oh, by the way, there's a Harley Quinn on this Justice League, guys.
Yes, there was. Now, whatever this voice is from the background, it says, "Your teammates relied on specifically crafted weapons, while you, on the other hand, possess innate power I am very much in need of." Then we flip to the Ori of Worlds, House of Heroes, where the,
What was that called?
The Intergalactic, or the Inner Something Justice League? Do you remember?
The Intergalactic, crap. What were they called?
They were basically the Multiverse Justice League.
from all the different universes in DC Comics. It was like a compilation of a Green Lantern, a Green, or a Flash, a Batman, a Wonder. There's not even a Wonder Woman on this team, is there? A Wonder Man?
Doesn't
or
look
anything.
Like it.
No, that's the one thing I just noticed. We have our own version of Shazam. We've got a Mary Marvel version. We've got a, you know what? That version that we're thinking of, Shazam, may be their version of Wonder Woman.
He possibly took Wonder Woman's place.
He definitely seems more like a Zeus character, but if you remember, Wonder Woman's father is Zeus, so that's probably where they're going with that. We've got a female Aquawoman, so
yeah,
just a whole bunch of different superheroes from the multiverse.
Well, we find out our Superman from Earth Prime or Earth One is trying to get his head around what these people are, and basically this whole scene is them figuring out, he's trying to figure out what they do. So he's like, "So you keep law and order between all these Earths?" And Aquawoman says, "No, we do not get involved in the day-to-day aspects of the worlds themselves." And Mary Marvel tells him, "It's the big picture we focus on. Only the outside threat or force that endangers the security and stability of the multiverse itself. All internal threats, like if it's something that's concerned just one world or just one universe, they let the heroes of that universe take care of it."
Mm-hmm.
So if it's something that crosses across the multiverse, they deal with it. So, so they're trying to figure out why exactly are all these Supermen being abducted, but our Superman is not, but Kenan Kong was. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, as they know of, he's the only Superman from that world, because the New 52 Superman had passed away.
Exactly.
And as you tell me earlier, Ken, this Superman isn't from another world. He's from a different, what did you say? It was from a different...
It's almost like
time.
A different... Not one of the worlds of the multiverse, an alternate multiverse.
Yeah, like just something completely different. They can't even find him.
In this one, they still have only the 52 worlds in the multiverse.
Right.
Or not worlds, but 52 galaxies or universes or whatever.
Right, and this Superman came from something different.
Exactly. He came from outside of that. So that's why he doesn't register as a...
a 52 one. Superman.
Now, who is this that actually brings up their... It's talking like the computer. Is this like their version of Oracle?
I think so. But that, you know what that looks like? Just like, that looks like Supergirl.
You know, that or maybe Saturn Girl.
I don't think Saturn Girl. This is like the same image they took from the Superman Batman Apocalypse when Supergirl first came to Earth, that animated film.
Yeah.
She's wearing this outfit. So that's why I was like, is this Supergirl? But I don't know. This could be their version, or they stylized it as their cousin, somebody.
Well, this is obviously it's the computer or someone like that, because she detected that the Justice League of Assassins, now of Earth 14, is no longer there. It's been destroyed.
Dang.
So that, and now they're scanning. There's nobody there and no Superman on that in that world. So Earth 14 is now devoid of heroes.
And they have to stop this massacre that's happening.
Yeah, they have to figure out what they're going to do to save that. So Superman lets them know, you know what? We need to go out and get as collect as many Supermen from as many of the worlds as we can and get them all together so that whoever's doing this has to come to us. Now, the next one was kind of interesting because I never realized that Etrigan was a Superman from another world. Etrigan is the Superman of Earth 13.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What's Etrigan doing here? I'm like, oh, wait, you're a Superman?
According to this, on Earth 13, Etrigan is their Superman. And he has the League of Shadows, which is all monsters, basically, instead of superheroes. And Etrigan is talking in rhymes.
Who's the other ones from the world? We got a mummy here, like Enchantress.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's the only two I saw here. But they have all kinds of heroes on here. They were all monsters, basically.
Yeah, and you still get them talking in rhyme, as you said. It's just like, oh my goodness, Etrigan. Or Superman, what do we call him, Superman now?
Etrigan? I don't know. I'm still calling him Etrigan the Demon.
Yeah, I am too.
But the next page after those, you get to go. We get to go to Earth 10, 12, 18, and 16. Earth 10 is the one where the Nazis and fascists have taken over. You got the fascist Superman, and you have Uncle Sam is actually one of the other heroes in there.
I don't know why I thought that was funny when I seen that. I haven't seen Uncle Sam in the books in so long.
Oh yeah.
Well, then we get
Earth 12 is like a Batman Beyond universe where it has the Superman from Batman Beyond is in it.
Yeah, and the whole Justice League team from that show we saw.
And actually, they made comics out of that too for a while, digital.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have.
I know
those.
They put a speedster in there.
Huh?
I know they put a speedster in there.
Oh yeah, she was part of the team. Earth 18. You have basically a Minotaur Superman.
I love how they're just blinding out they're blurring out the other guy's face. I don't need to know who else is on the team. I need to do my research. I want to know all Justice League.
Yeah. Then Earth 16 they show, and it just looks like the league, very similar to the current league we have on our Earth. Hmm. But we find out they've gone to all these places, and all these Supermen have gone ahead and agreed to come with them so that they can figure out what this is and who is attacking all of them. Now, they find out the... all the Supermen are asking is like, okay, well, this is a special ship supposedly, but why are they not going to attack us on the ship? And the Superman that's from the ship says that it's an extra dimensional boat made of frozen music created by the monitors to explore and travel the multiverse.
And that got really weird.
Yeah, it's able to vibrate at different frequencies in order to access different of the 52 known worlds, occupying the same space, which are separated only by their own different pitches. So, Etrigan brings up
that's
the whole thing that,
that's a lot of sci-fi right there. Why?
Yeah. It's interesting that the multiverse is all controlled by musical pitches and music and the frequencies.
Hey, you gotta find some frequency you gotta get attached to, right?
Well, Etrigan asks straight up, has anybody got an actual plan at this? A plan of what we're going to do? And then our Superman says, yeah, I have a plan. We lose. So the other one's like, wait a minute, that's dumb. How are we going to do that? What do you mean we lose? And they come up with a plan that they want Superman, so we put everybody in one place and ring the dinner bell so this guy shows up. Then they find out, wait, something's showing up in space around us. Whoever it is showing up. As he does that, our Superman hits the button and phases everybody out to another world, except for himself. So he's the only one left to fight
Always.
Is this villain. Do you recognize him?
I'm looking him up right now, and I'll give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
That is... Oh, man, there's a lot of characters from this book. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
you want...
while you're looking for
keep
that...
Keep going.
We're almost at the end here, and he shows up, and all of a sudden,
oh,
wait a minute.
Prophecy.
Huh?
Prophecy. He only appeared in Superman 2 times.
Okay.
He appeared in issue number 14, and as we see a follow-up in issue number 15, so he's a brand new character.
Okay. But he's like, wait a minute. Everybody, all the Supermen that I honed in on, they're missing. And who are you? And ours just says, I am Superman.
I am Superman.
And that's the end of it. I know we have one more issue left of this one through the Multiverse Superman story.
And this is getting really good. This is one of my favorite storylines right now.
Yeah, this has been fantastic so far. I love that. I have to find a way to read Multiversities so I can see what's going on with the rest of this.
Yeah, I got to do the same thing. This is too good. As we say, we jumped down a rabbit hole last time we got this book.
Yes. So, but the next one up is we have three more that we chose to do this week. Next one up is actually Justice League of America Rebirth, The Ray. And we get a backstory on who is The Ray.
Yeah, I felt bad for Ray in this. I was like, this kid got locked up for a while just because of his powers. Or I think if he had the right mentor, he could have controlled this as a kid.
So, why don't you flip through this and let us know, and then we'll do some discussing and stuff.
Okay, well, as this comic book opens up, you get Ray, and he's in a dark house watching a TV, watching TV, and I guess a movie he's watched over and over and over. This is his favorite movie. And the thing is also, it's his birthday. Now, his mom is locked him in this house, and she doesn't want him to see any light, because when he does, bad things happen. She gives him a birthday cake, and he's saying, Mom, where's the candles? He's saying, Honey, you know you can't have anything. She does it in an aggressive way, too. You can't have any light, not even candles. That'll make you sick. He's saying, well, I don't want to be trapped here forever. And he's wondering if his friend, what's his friend's name? Looking for it.
His friend was...
Caden? Caden. Yeah. He's wondering if Caden would come over. And she said, honey, you know, after what happened last time, Caden and him took pictures. And the pictures, the light from that put Caden in the hospital. And she said, you know he's not coming back. His mom probably, he would never want to come back after what happened. He's probably afraid of you.
If he's even alive.
Yeah, if he's even alive. Well, 10 years later, and he looks like he's a teenager at this point, about 16, 17. He tells his mom, you know what? And he's calling her by her real name now at this point. He's not even calling her mom. He says, you've kept me in here as a prisoner for all my life. And she says, if you go outside, you might die. He says, I don't care if I die. I just want to be out of the house. I'm tired of staying here. I'm a prisoner. I need to get out. So I'm going out tonight, and I'm experiencing freedom. And it was funny because when he jumps into the sky, the moonlight doesn't hurt him. Now, it is nighttime, so I guess it wouldn't really matter. But from the way she was talking, any light would hurt him. I'm thinking maybe if he was just feeling that way about himself, the light really doesn't matter. He can control it. But hours pass, and he's walking around town, experiencing everything. He sees a group of kids outside of diner, and of course any teenage boy, girl, any teenager in general, they want to go mingle with the crowd. So he does so. They say, we've never seen you around here. Now, guys,
this was
at
actually,
this point...
This one was kind of cool, because you expect, the way that they do this off, kids with their hoods up and stuff, like it looks like they're going to be troublemakers, but they really don't. They just say, hey, come on over here. Well, who are you? What's going on? We don't recognize you from around here.
Right.
They look like they just wanted. They honestly just wanted to say hi and learn who he was.
And they were going to. They were getting to know him. They started to shake his hand. But at this time, guys, he's been walking around the streets all night. And you know there's a thing called street lights to keep us safe so we can see what's going on. He's walking down there a lot of these. So he's been getting the light energy from that. So he goes to shake one of their hands. He goes into, what would we even call this, his light form?
Possibly.
It's like a burst of energy. His skin starts cracking, lights trying to pop out, and he's saying, no, not now, I didn't want this to happen, everybody wait, don't go, and then he goes into a poof of light, and we don't see him anymore.
Yeah, he pretty much goes invisible.
Yeah, he turns into a ghost, really, a light ghost.
Yeah.
It's like he's on a different spectrum right now. Later the police come by, the paramedics, fire trucks come by, trying to figure out what the heck happened to this kid. They're like, he just vanished, he was here as a light beam. He was there, and then he was gone. Turn on a light, you can see everything. Next thing you know, you can't see a thing. And this is what happened to him. And he's trying to figure out.
This whole story is being told through him writing letters to his friend Caden, which he only met once.
Right. And it's like he exploded, and he's gone. So years pass at this point. 4 years later, exactly. So, and he's aging still. Even though we can't see him, he's like in this light world, and seems like he's been even coming up with a costume for himself to wear.
Mm-hmm.
He's been going out watching movies. He's seeing all these protests people are having, and it turns out his friend Caden is now running for mayor. Is he mayor? Or is he running for?
No, he is mayor
of the city. Yeah, he is running for mayor. So he said, "You know what? I'm going to go see, go to the hall and see what he's talking about." And once he gets there, of course, he's talking about the fear everybody's living in and the city of individuals. Now, is he talking about the fear of things that's going on in America, or is he talking about the fears of these metahumans?
I think the city, he said the whole city is known as supposedly the most depressed city in America. And that's not the architecture. It's not the architecture or the weather. It's or the crime. It's just the fear in the city. The fear that we're alone in the city of individuals. No one has anyone else back or has anyone else's back because they think no one's like that. No one else is like them. So they're afraid because they all are alone, is what he's saying.
And that's the perfect description for how Ray is feeling. Ray's been locked alone. Ray has no friends. He's afraid to talk to somebody because he's afraid he might cause harm to someone. So that's all built up in him. And then we get this some random guy in the crowd. At the time when you're reading this, you're like, who the heck is this guy in the crowd?
Then you find out he's actually like a local terrorist type guy.
Yeah, and he plans on stopping everything Caden has planned for the city.
He's from the Sons of Liberty.
And I was looking for, are they an actual thing?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. I want to look this up. I'm reading this. do you want to cover the next page real quick while I look this up?
Yeah, well, he unzips his jacket, and then out of nowhere he talks about how the Sons of Liberty see you, because he likes the city the way it is. They don't want the city to change. It's like, we live here because we want to be alone, and we don't want anybody else.
So yeah, that's where all the loners come.
Energy sword and a shield. Then he starts running at the stage. And Ray is standing beside Caden listening to all this because he's invisible. He's like, okay, now what? Now what? And then as the guy gets close to the stage, Ray goes, no, and he takes his light form again.
And I just wanted to. I was going to say what he's dealt with because we've changed it a little bit. They changed up a couple of his origins here and made him a little bit more of a loner.
Yeah.
Oh, man, where is all of this? I'm afraid of something going wrong. I'm angry of watching no matter what. Just can't watch anymore. I'm trying to find where was all his thoughts of why he wanted to become better and why he needs to step into the light. Oh, man. Ah, where is it? They're just watching. I'm afraid of something being wrong with me. I'm afraid of telling me something's wrong with me. I'm afraid of being angry, feeling myself as the only person that cares about me. He's just tired of all these thoughts coming to his head, being held back. He's tired of being held back. He's watched for 4 years in this ghost form, seeing as the world and the town just gets engulfed by fear and everybody's scared to do something. Well, he's not afraid to do anything now. He's going to step up to the plate and finally come into the light. And once he does that, him and the guy with these energy constructs start just going at it. Now this was a power I didn't know Ray had. If the world he goes into, and he stays in just that light ghost form, he can also do it to other people so they can see what he experiences. And he touches the guy, and the same thing that he was experiencing for those 4 years happens to him. But his only lasted for about, what you think, Ken, about a minute, if that?
If that, then Ray brings him back to the regular world.
Yeah, and this guy's freaked out. He's like, where am I? I need help. Mother of God, help me. And then he brings it back, and he just passes out, he faints. And security starts backing the mayor, or hopefully soon to be mayor, away. He says, no, I want to shake this guy's hand. Let me talk to him. And the thing is, he has no idea that this is Ray. Caden, he knows this is Caden, but plus he's got to keep a superhero persona, so he doesn't want anybody to know who he is either. And he says, thanks for saving me. I'm shocked that someone came up to do this to me. I was expecting I would have some criticism from people, but I think no one would try to kill me like this. But what's your name? He says, you know what? I'm just going to be a ray of hope that everybody needs, and you can trust me. Now, since he's going out and finally being a hero, he's able to go back into his normal form. He's living a normal life. He's going out to movies. He has a social life. He has friends. He has a lover. Life couldn't get better for him, and he's also a hero that he wanted to be. He's using his powers that his mom said would hurt people. He's using it to hurt the people that deserve it, not the people that need the help. So next thing we'll see with the Ray is a follow-up in DC's JLA Rebirth, issue number one.
Exactly. That's coming up in a couple weeks, I believe.
Yep.
Next one is actually...
Oh, man.
This is going to kind of go out of order a little bit, because I'm going to go with Justice League number 13 next. And really, this one takes place after Justice League versus Suicide Squad number 5, but I want to finish off with the Justice League Suicide Squad. And,
okay, we can do that. We can do that, because the one Justice League book wasn't as packed as Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
No. This is basically a day in the life of Steve Trevor when the Justice League has taken over the world. And the entire world is being infected. Remember, the, was it the Dark Heart or the Heart of Darkness Diamond, or what was the name of it? That the, that, Max Lord now has in the Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
Like Bugs. Calypso.
Has turned him into Calypso, but that's infecting everybody else also. Well, Steve Trevor's back at the, as Bunker, and then, they find out what's going on in the world, that the entire Justice League has taken over the world. Or at least America.
Yeah.
That gets explained in the next book. But, basically he knows he needs to get back home because his sister and his nephew and niece were coming over to watch movies and just hang out for the night. He has to make sure they're safe after he watches the whole entire world is attacking everybody else. And, this whole book is basically him, his travels over there. His, secretary attacks him. He takes her down. Then all of the 20 different techs that are doing monitor duty in the basement and the bunker he's in, have all been affected, and they start attacking him. So he locks down the bunker so they can't get out. Then he starts
working his way. By the way, he's trying not to kill none of these people. He's not. I know he's a war vet, and he's trying. You know, he could go guns ablaze and taking everybody down, but he was going to, and he thought about. They're just victims. They don't know really what they're doing.
Yeah, this is very much like a zombie apocalypse type situation.
Mm-hmm. And they're biting him. They're trying to lick his blood up. They love the taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're a vampire slat. I would say actually more vampires than zombies.
Yeah, because, yeah, they're repelled by really bright lights.
Mm-hmm.
So he stops on the way and tries to stop some homeless people. And then all of a sudden he's like, yes, I see Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman flies over. She kind of looks and says, Steve, I was wondering if you were dead yet. And then looks, she's infected also.
Oh, man, she gives the most ugliest face.
But as he saved the they used bright fluorescent lights to get the monsters to run away. And he's checking, okay, are you guys fine? And all of a sudden, the homeless people are now the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making his way through the neighborhoods, gets to his sister's house, breaks in looking for them. Then he finds the kids singing Ring Around the Rosie, and they've been infected. So he's afraid he's going to have to shoot his niece and nephew and his sister to put her out of her misery. And then he sees Calypso talking to him, and he tells her, get out of my head. Get out of my family. He looks, they're all okay. Then you see they're talking. He's like, okay, the morning's coming. We're going to be okay. He looks outside and sees the sun is, the shadows are falling, starting to fall across the sun. And then all of a sudden you look, he's been infected also.
Yeah. So he's, and he's also like a little, now. It was even an image showing this in the page before the end. The moon goes over his left eye, or sorry, his right eye. And that seems to be where that blue, whatever this is, seems to affect the people the same way. You're going to get this blue shading over your right side of your face.
Exactly.
Just like an eclipse coming over on the world.
Exactly.
Now, as Ken said, it's a little bit out of order. It did say read Justice League vs. Suicide Squad issue number 5 before you dab into the Justice League issue number 13. But it was a little bit of like a prequel to what we're going to see in here, so it kind of goes in order either way.
Yeah.
Now, before we get to Justice League vs. Suicide Squad, I'm going to ask my friend, did you finish all the books yet?
Got the fourth one.
Okay, you're on the fourth one?
More. Yeah. Just this
I'm about to read number 5, so I don't want to spoil nothing for you. You may want to get out of the room if you don't want to hear this.
So is he leaving?
I don't know. He's staying here, I think. Thank
okay.
You. All right.
He's been
spoiler
warned.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, you have been warned, Ken said.
So, remember at the end of Justice League Suicide Squad number 4, Max Lord has now taken over the Justice League, and they are all doing his bidding. And we find out that the whole thing he wants to do is bring safety and security and freedom to the world, or at least to America.
And it's funny because a lot of these villains, they have these agendas where they're trying to take over the world or kill somebody important. But really, their goal is always the same as the heroes. They just want to have a good, decent world and save everybody, even if they have to step over some people to do so. So, that's what, Maxwell Lord is trying to do, is trying to save the world, and he feels like the only reason, the way he can do that is by making himself the king of the world, in his vision.
Exactly.
So, you get Flash, he's now destroyed all of the world's nuclear bombs, he dismantled them.
In 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes, yes. He, by the way, guys, he's using the Justice League under his control and using them to their full potential. They have no restrictions. They have no limits now. The two Green Lanterns, In 5 minutes, the Green Lanterns put a barrier around the Earth to protect it. In 7 minutes, our shores were and borders were secured by Aquaman, the king of the seven seas. That's funny. And in 9 minutes, Wonder Woman placed the so-called world leaders under her protection. In 10 minutes, Cyborg took hold of all communications. And now, in the White House, Superman, within 13 minutes, has the United States in... The United States is safe. He went to the White House, and now he's basically protecting Maxwell Lord. That looks like he's the new president. Of course, Superman will go to the White House or Pentagon. And this is going on. Max is safe. That's what Superman's saying. And then we get a black panel. Then we get back to Maxwell Lord. He's saying, Superman, you're a bore. I need somebody to enjoy this with. Someone needs to see all my beautiful work. And we find out that the light was being flickered in the dark by Deadshot, Amanda Waller, and Batman. Now, they're under ground right now with a body of Lowell because his head is just...
Yeah, there is no head.
Disintegrated. Yeah, there is no head. And then Batman tells them, I've been trapped underground before with dead bodies, so this is no problem for me. And that reminded me of Justice League Doom when he was trapped under, trapped in the coffin with his parents. That was released. Ooh, that was dark. So this is nothing for Batman. And Deadshot saying how the Justice League didn't win, we're all in hell, and then Batman's basically telling him to shut up, and then they hear a noise. Turns out it's Superman coming to get Amanda Waller and take her back to Maxwell Lord. And then Batman puts on his kryptonite brass knuckle, or I'm sorry,
well, hang on,
ring.
Before we get to that part, remember, mm-hmm. as part of this, tells Waller, he's like, well, we're already down here. What in the world is Max Lord looking for? What were you hiding down underneath the prison? So she lets him know that the Heart of Darkness diamond was buried under the prison. And obviously, Batman knows what that is.
Of course he would. He's Batman.
And now he knows, wait a minute, we have to stop him before Max Lord gets this diamond. Well, obviously we know that he didn't get that done.
Yeah, sadly. But we've got time. We've got time. You know, it's time to fix the world. And then, Batman puts on his kryptonite ring saying, hey, come on, Superman. I'm ready for you. Superman says, you think that kryptonite ring's gonna work now? It might have worked before, but not anymore. Max, like I said, basically, they have no limits. They have no restrictions. Their weaknesses are gone. Max is using them to her full potential.
Exactly. It says, well, and, he said the kryptonite ring, it still hurts, but pain doesn't affect him anymore. He doesn't care about
no
pain.
More. Yeah. And then he tells Batman, I thought it was pretty funny. You spent your entire life trying to protect one city and you failed.
Well, he says straight up, Max saved the entire world within a matter of minutes.
Right. And that's when he takes Amanda back to Washington. And now we get a Lobo waking up, and Deadshot's like, oh, crap, we're screwed.
Out of nowhere, Lobo regenerates his head.
What is he saying?
Stuff I don't want to say on here.
Well, he says a word. And then he's pissed now. He's like, Batman, you blew my head up. How dare you? He's like, well, nothing else will work, and you wouldn't listen to us because Maxwell Lord was controlling you, so I figure her neck bomb that she puts in the Suicide Squad would probably work to blow your head up and you come back to your senses.
And he Batman says, actually, or Lobo likes that style. He tells him, I like your style, Bat Freak.
But now I want to kill Maxwell Lord because he's can't believe he pulled one on the main man. I told him if he did that, I'm tearing his head off. And now you get, the rest of Suicide Squad come back together and they're saying, we've got an issue on our hands. Cyborg's possessed and he's still there. So you got the Suicide Squad trying to take him out. Batman runs over and tells them to back away and he stops Harley from smashing his head in with her hammer. Saying, now look here, he's not fighting back, Harley. So do you really think he's a real bad guy right now? And this is where we get to figure out, since Cyborg is Victor Stone and Cyborg, he has two different brains, really. Max is controlling Cyborg's human brain, but since Cyborg is always prepared, he put some of his mental thought into the Cyborg part of his body.
Yeah, so Max couldn't control the cybernetic parts.
Right, and that usually seems to come in handy with anything with Cyborg. Whenever the Teen Titans or Justice League have some type of mind-controlling villain, Cyborg is usually the one that can resist it because either they're going to get his cybernetic part of his brain, his human side always takes over, or someone gets his human side and the cybernetic part is able to defeat him. So he's telling Batman that Maxwell Lord can't control this. He thinks he can, but he really can't. He has no idea what he has. He doesn't understand what he's possessing, and it's basically going to be a system overload for him. This Dark Crystal has an evil entity behind it, and it can take over his hostess. But right now, he thinks he's in control, but at some point, the gem is going to come out. So they need to get to Washington as soon as possible, because what they think is going on is bad. It's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah.
And now we're back at DC, and Amanda Waller's telling Max, you don't know what you've got in your hands. You can't control it. But Max says, oh, that's where you're wrong, Waller. When I went to that island, they scarred me with this this logo of Eclipso to keep the evil entities out of me. In my opinion, Ken, they didn't put that scar on his body to keep him from getting taken over. I think it probably made it even stronger for the Star Crystal to take him over, honestly. And as Mander Wallace telling him, for years, Max, on that island, they dealt with these plague, all these deadly diseases, all this destruction, and it just killed them. That fear and everything took them over.
Also, she's saying that the diamond itself, throughout history, there's been recordings of when the diamond when people knew the diamond was around, was during some of mankind's worst moments.
Worst moments.
It was there
yeah.
during the Black Plague. It was there during the Salem witch hunts, during the Inquisition. Yeah. And it said her researchers had found mentions of it as far back as the massacre at Thessalonica.
And then that's where you get that weird voice of yes. Like, it's just a weird hissing, like, evil
voice.
Almost like
the diamond's talking now.
Yeah, and he says, their screams were symphony. And she's like, wait, what did you say? He's saying, oh, sorry. What was I saying? It's like he's going a little bipolar right now.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you have nothing to worry about, Mander. I've got this all under control. I can control the population. And he says, it's all in good hands. Better than what you could ever do. Now you can sleep at night knowing that I am controlling this. Now we get back to the Justice League and the Suicide Squad. Well, not really the Justice League. It's half of Cyborg and Batman. This is really more so the Justice League of America talking right here. Can you know where I'm going? Mm-hmm. And then Harley Quinn's telling them, well, if Max can't control the diamond for too long and it's going to destroy him, isn't that a good thing? They're saying, no, if he gets corrupted by this full thing, he creates more chaos than what we can... than what we're ready for. And that's when they're like, well, we gotta get to Washington. The Suicide Squad's telling him, hey, we may be villains, but we also live in this world, and he's not taking over the world we do have. And Lobo's saying, well, I got a bone to pick with Max, too. And then the other Suicide Squad, even if they're not in it for helping save the world, they want to get back at the members of Justice League that made them look like fools all these other times. So they're saying, you're rolling to squad, Batman. So Batman's saying, no. Welcome to the Justice League. We're doing this as the Justice League.
Yeah, we're not following the Suicide Squad's rules. You've now just become the Justice League.
So now you're getting a little... This is a real team-up right here. And then Maxwell Lord tells Amanda Waller, come, look at my new world. I did it. All this is in my name. Look at it. The world is finally free. Isn't it beautiful?
It is finally free and is at peace.
Yeah, it's the complete opposite, Max. The world is in chaos. Washington has cars... crashed, people killing each other, flames are engulfing the city. This looks like hell on earth, actually, right now. And she's saying, Max, this is not... She slaps the crap out of him and says, wake up, pull yourself together, take control, look at this. This is not paradise. This is worse, that people are killing each other. And she's trying to open up his eyes, saying, hey, look what you've actually created. He's saying, no, I didn't do this. I didn't mean for this. Now he's coming to his senses, asking Amanda Waller to actually help him this time. But I think it's a little too late for that. The ship has sailed. Now you get the Suicide Squad and, you know, just the Justice League with the Suicide Squad team members on there. They're trying to save the day. Get your hands off them. And Batman tells them, no killing. Don't take no one out. We're the good guys right now. They're saying it's really hard when you have a population full of people trying to kill you. But then Max gets the Justice League to come out and help them against the new Justice League. And Max's body starts doing this weird mutation. He starts puking up this black ooze and this gunk. And, I mean, his body is truly mutating. His bones are changing, bubbles, warts are popping out of his skin, his eyes are changing. And you're getting the Justice League and the Suicide Squad fighting the other members that's been corrupted by the diamond. And we see that Max was actually transforming himself into a new entity. He has became Eclipso. And... now, for once and for all, he will bear all, what is this? Once and for all, I have stripped it bare, and I will corrupt all of my creation. to be continued in the next issue of Justice League vs. Suicide Squad, number 6, the conclusion of everything we've been leading up to.
That's right. No, this has been a great storyline so far. And it's going to be cool to see the new Justice League that comes out of this with Justice League of America.
Yeah, we've been getting these little prequels from Ray, from Vixen, from Adam. And next week we're going to have Killer Frost. And I think that's going to be that is the last one. And that's probably going to be after everything sells with this whole Justice League vs. Suicide Squad. They hopefully stop Eclipse, I'm pretty sure. And we'll get to see what happens with that and how Batman controls this new team of Lobo, Killer Frost, the Ray, Vixen, and the Atom. And Black Canary. Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that only leaves one thing left to do.
Yeah, we got to make a visit.
And that means that we gotta head to the comic shop. This is our comic shop pull list for February 1st, 2016. And as always, it is brought to you by the Shazbots. That's their song, Comic Book Shop. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook and theshazbots.com. And let them know DC or Superpowers Podcast sent you. Actually, we've only got 9 books this week.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot. We've been having like these 16 issues of 17 issues of books we usually gotta get. But this,
you gotta remember,
a little short
this is.
This week.
This past week, we had the finale for Justice League Suicide Squad came out, and the last Rebirth title for that. So we don't, until we get some new Rebirths or something, we're back to just the standard titles we've had. There's nothing
which
new this
little,
week.
Which is a little refreshing.
Yes. Give us a little bit of time to breathe, a little time for the wall to fill up a little again.
And plus, with everything we've been doing, I haven't been able to read all the extra books that I like to buy. Barely got through the last Scooby Apocalypse book. I got some Death of Hawkman I need to read, so it's giving me some time to catch up on all the other stuff.
But the 9 books we do have start off with... Do you want to start the first one, or do you want me to start the first one?
I'll let you start off with the second one.
Okay. Well, we start off with Aquaman number 16. Warhead Part 1. Deluge is over. And now Aquaman and Mera lead the rebuilding of Amnesty Bay... or lead the rebuilding of Amnesty Bay and other American cities drawn into the war with Atlantis. But Arthur's tenure as a hero threatens to be short-lived when the new villain emerges from the rubble. Art by Andrew Hennessy and Bradley Walker, and is written by Dan Abnett.
Aquaman, like I said, this is one of the few books I didn't know what was going to happen with Rebirth. I didn't know if they were going to keep on track of what they were doing with the new 52 Aquaman and keep it going or change it back. But once again, we're getting a pretty good mixture of everything. This is gonna be the end of it now, right? Oh no, that was over, so.
No, that was the end of that storyline. Now they're moving on to the
next
one. Yeah, so
we're getting Warhead. Okay. Sweet. Well, we're gonna get another one. Well, next one on our list is Batman issue number 16. I Am Bane Part 1. Now we're gonna get into the juicy stuff.
Yes.
Bane is coming for Batman, and Bruce must keep those he loves safe for 5 days in order to save Gotham Girl. Once and for all. But Bane will stop at nothing, and no one is safe. Art done by David Finch and written by Tom King.
This is interesting because they don't mention her at all, but Catwoman is on the cover again.
Yeah, and what we've seen in the past couple books, he wasn't actually able to clear her name, so maybe after this. And is it just me, Ken, or are you getting some heavily influenced Dark Knight Rises with these? Well, actually, ever since they introduced Catwoman back.
I don't know, because I've not read a lot of... I mean, I read Dark Knight Rises a long time ago. I'm going to have to go back and read it at some point.
No, not the Frank Miller. I'm talking about the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
no, that
kinda.
Was really just Bane, Catwoman, and Batman. And it was like, Catwoman, is she a good guy? Is she a bad guy? And at the end of it, we got to see she's still on Batman's side, same as in the book. Yeah. I didn't know if she was going to be on Batman or Bane's side, but look at that. Now Bane's coming back for revenge. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that's never a good thing.
And it looks like he's found his venom.
No. That's all he was asking for was give me my venom.
That's right. Well, next up we got Cyborg number 9. Escape from Star Labs. Vic discovers the origin of the cybernetic foe impersonating his father, but he might not live long enough to do anything about it if Star Labs' deadly security forces get to him first. With his cyborg technology crippled, Vic must rely on a down-and-out thief to escape one of the most heavily fortified facilities in the DCU. Art by Tony Cordos and Paul Pelletier. And is written by John Semper Jr. Now, have you been keeping up with Cyborg?
No, I have not. As I not to say on the show, it's just really weird for me just to get into Cyborg as a standalone character without that's why I'm a little iffy on the movie. I like Cyborg, but usually with a team. Teen Titans, I just now am more accepting of him being in a Justice League. For the longest, I wasn't okay with that, so.
Yeah.
It's just something I'm getting used to, maybe in time, and if so, I'll just go back and get the volumes and read them.
Okay.
But next on our list, we have Green Arrow, issue number 16, Emerald Outlaw, part 5. Implicating the killing of several high-profile Seattleites, besieged by a murderous capable of crooked cops and demonized by a mayor... Memorial candidate willing to tear the city apart to get what he wants. All seems lost for Green Arrow. That is, until help arrives in a form of a long-lost ally. It's the return of Emiko Queen, his sister.
So the new Speedy is back. Or what are they, what are they calling her?
They're not calling her Speedy. She hasn't got a name, but we haven't seen Speedy. And I know there's a young female Speedy he took in under his wing, so honestly, Ken, we can call her that, and we can keep calling that until they give us something new. Yeah. I really think this is going to be the new Speedy. Okay. I really feel like this is what they're... Because they're going for it. She's using the arrows. She's a young teenage girl. Who else could that be? art done by Otto Skimnit and written by Benjamin Percy.
Okay. Well, next up, we have Green Lanterns number 16. Darkest Night Part 1. Now, we didn't cover Green Lanterns this week, but... It was an interesting one-off story that basically shows that Simon and Jessica are becoming partners. They're learning how to feel each other out, basically, and see when one needs something to get the nonverbal communication type stuff going. Well, that leads into this story here, which is basically a crossover with Batman and the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, this cover, they've been advertising this throughout the books for, what, about 2 or 3 weeks now?
Something like that.
So this has been a good build-up, so we're going to have to definitely pick this up. I don't know. This is a part one. I'll let you take it, but I don't know how many parts we're going to get out of this.
Well, this is Green Lanterns number 16, Darkest Night Part 1. It's the Dark Knight Emerald Knights team-up you've been waiting for. Simon and Jessica travel to Gotham City to help Batman with a mystery even he can't solve. People all across the city have been gripped with fear. Is it Scarecrow? Is it the Sinestro Corps? Can these Justice League teammates work together to solve the mystery? Art is done by Neil Edwards, and it's written by Sam Humphries.
Like I said, this is good. If Batman's in here with the Green Lanterns, I wonder if we're going to get some more team-ups with other heroes by themselves.
It's possible. Well, we know we're getting a team-up with in April with Batman and Flash.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, you know what's going to be one juicy thing from that storyline?
What?
Jessica and the Flash. You know what's going to happen. Yeah. You know it's coming. Next on our issue, or next on our list, we have Harley Quinn, issue number 13. Joker Loves Harley finale. Just how did a gentle reformed Joker, and I'm putting air quotes around reformed Joker, come to arrive at Harley's doorstep when everybody believed him to be dead and gone? The answer is in this issue, and it will shock you. Art done by John Timms and written by Jimmy Palamani and Amanda Connor. Now, have you been keeping up with this, right?
Yes. I have gotten every issue of Harley. This has been good stuff. I like the comedy. It's just a fun tale.
So how is this Joker be? Is this the Joker we know? Or
he's
is this
not
a
acting like the Joker. He's acting all smooth and and stuff like that.
Do you think this is Joker?
I don't know.
We'll find out who it actually is, if it is Joker, or what's going on. Is it a clone? I have no idea. Or is this all just a figment of her imagination, knowing Harley?
Well, we'll find out here next week.
Okey-doke.
The next up we have is Justice League number 14. Regroup. Broken, battered, and pinned down by a new alien threat. The Justice League is forced to conform long to... let me try that again. Broken, battered, and pinned down by a new alien threat. The Justice League is forced to confront long simmering tensions between teammates before they can save the world. Grievances are aired and secrets are revealed in this special issue written and drawn by Brian Hitch. Now, Brian Hitch has been writing these the whole time, but he's actually doing the artwork this time. The art is by Brian Hitch and Daniel Enriquez, and is written by Brian Hitch, so...
They just took that over.
Yep.
Hey, at least we're not getting redacted now, so we know after this issue they've passed.
Yeah. I'm still not sure if I'm going to keep getting Justice League. Something's got to change in there.
Hold on one second, Ken.
What?
Yeah, is Batman on this cover?
I already clicked off of it, so I don't know.
I think he is. He's in the corner. I was wondering if he's going to... We'll see what happens with that. I was wondering how many times we're going to see him. He may be on both teams of Justice League and Justice League of America.
Well, you got to remember, JLA hasn't started yet.
Right. I just didn't know if they were going to do, like, a prequel or what. Okay. Next, we have Nightwing, issue number 14. Bloodhaven finale. The psychopath who's been carrying out the killings in Bloodhaven has placed the blame on Nightwing. Now Dick Grayson must apprehend this maniac to stop the murders and try to convince Bloodhaven he's not a villain. Art done by Marcus Tau and written by Tim Seeley.
It is still good to see him in Bloodhaven.
Yeah, that's his city. As I say, Gotham is where he was raised, but Bloodhaven became his own. It's kind of like when Superman went from Smallville to Metropolis.
Yeah. So the last one we got for this week is Superman number 16, Multiplicity Finale. Superman, New Superman, and the Justice League Incarnate make their last... huh?
That was the name we were looking for earlier.
Yes. Make their last stand against their multiverse-spanning foe, and the Man of Steel discovers another clue to the truth of his existence. So we get to figure out maybe a little bit more of where, how exactly he came into this world.
Now, do you see what DC Comics did on this website?
Yeah, they used the cover from last week's issue, but the background image looks like possibly the cover for this week's issue.
Which probably will be the new cover. I don't know. There's a little mess up there. Someone made a mistake in editing.
One of the interns let it slip.
Yep.
Well, the art is done by Various, George Jimenez, and Doug Mank, and it's written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi. And that's actually all
that's
the books for this week.
Yeah, that's all our books.
So, not a bad week overall. The DC TV is once again starting to hit it out of the park.
Yeah, they did great with the comeback. There wasn't a low point for any show, and from what I've seen with all this Gotham stuff, got a lot of people talking, so there's been high points everywhere this week.
You need to watch Gotham, man.
No, I'm probably going to watch it.
Especially as big a Batman fan as you are.
Watch a little bit of it. Yeah, like I said, I didn't know. I'm not the biggest Gotham fan, but if this Joker's getting this much hype and talk around the internet, I should check this out, definitely.
And the last two episodes also had Selina's mom in it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So,
we got to take a look at that.
But as we're starting to wrap this up, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know where to find us?
Super Friends, you can find us on Twitter at Superpowers.
No. Yeah, wait, okay, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah, Superpowers DC. I was like, am I right? You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, DC Superpowers Podcast. And you can find me on my personal Instagram, Howlin' That Wolf, Twitter, VLO, and Facebook, Vernon McWayne Moore. And you can find my partner on his.
And you can find me on Facebook at Ken Rose and Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. Not that I post a whole lot on there, but I do post up when the new episodes are up and little things like that. So, also, you can find the podcast on the networks of the Tangibound Network at tangiboundnetwork.com and the Weeby Geeks Network at weebygeekspc.com.
We're all one big fan.
Exactly. But also, if you get a chance, head over to iTunes and leave us a rating or review. Just something honest. Let us know what you think of the show so that we can know what's going on. Tell us, hey, did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? Did we mess up? Let us know. We are having the contest. Every multiple of 10 review, we will be sending out a brand new comic to someone on the list. So you have to send us a review. So,
just type on there, type something, let us know how we're doing, bad, good, give some criticism, let us know.
Exactly. So, Vernon, do you have anything else this week before we wrap this up?
Once again, another week went by, we got some more followers on our social media, so once again, I want to thank you guys out there for listening to us, and the new listeners, you won't be missing out. We're going to give you the DC news, cover everything you need to know, and we're happy doing what we're doing, so thank you, and you're making it even better for us.
Exactly. Also, don't forget, if this should drop before the January 30th, on January 30th, check out the, if you're in the Northeast Ohio area, come out to the Malton Meeple in Hudson, Ohio, and help Geek Watch 1 celebrate their second anniversary in podcasting.
There will be cake.
Yes, there will be cake. And with that, Vernon, I'll say goodnight, and Super Friends, we'll see you next week.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.